The Sunlight Cafe, Seattle's oldest surviving vegetarian restaurant, has been around for so long now that my lunch there is as familiar as it is a target for ridicule. Cubes of sweet potato and ewes of celery bob on the surface of a chunky Mexican bean fiesta soup, the scent of cumin surfing on the steam rising off its surface. Alfalfa sprouts jut out of an avocado Havarti sandwich as if its toasted whole wheat shell were a squashed-on hat. A side salad is drizzled with tahini lemon dressing and speckled with sunflower and sesame seeds. Tack on a slice of nut loaf, and you'd have a complete 1970s feast, the antithesis of all American meat and potatoes, the kind of food that would still be associated with hippies even 50 years after San Francisco's Summer of Love. The Sunlight Cafe, opened in 1977, doesn't deny its hippie heritage. Although Seattle's climate often renders its name aspirational, when the sunlight does arrive, it floods the brightly colored room. Native American paintings hang above the wooden booths, and solid-looking whole wheat cookies and muffins lurk in the pastry case. The sign on the men's restroom depicts a stringy-haired bell-bottom dude. I share the same scuffed wood table with several white guys in their 60s reading the Seattle Times over their huevos rancheros, and a group of stout, fleece-clad women debating whether they're going to order the tempeh or the tofu burger because both sound so good. These are my people. This is the food I have been surrounded by all my life. For those of you who didn't grow up eating lentil and brown rice casseroles, it may be hard to recognize what came to be called hippie food. That's because so many of the ingredients that the counterculture of the 1960s and 1970s adopted, defying the suspicion and disgust of the rest of the country, have become foods many of us eat every day. The organic chard you bought at Kroger last week? In the early 1970s, farming organically was considered a delusional act. The granola yogurt parfait your coworker just picked up at Starbucks? In 1971, both granola and yogurt were foreign substances. Their reputation as tied to long-haired peaceniks, as pour-over coffee is to lumberjack beards and high-waisted jeans. Back then, whole wheat bread had disappeared from grocery stores. Hummus wasn't a childhood staple, but a dish only spotted in Middle Eastern markets and vegetarian cafes. The cuisine that the countercultural took to in the late 1960s, and then helped introduce to the mainstream in the 1970s, embraced whole grains and legumes, organic fresh vegetables, soy foods like tofu and tempeh, nutrition boosters like wheat germ and sprouted grains, and flavors from Eastern European, Asian, and Latin American cuisines. The food young Bohemians concocted with all these ingredients was often vegetarian, sometimes macrobiotic, and occasionally inedible. 40 years on, people who didn't live in that era might assume that hippie food could only be found in big cities and rural communes, but that wasn't the case. I grew up in the 1970s in a Mennonite community in Elkhart, Indiana. We only ate the traditional Pennsylvania Dutch fare of our grandparents, sauerkraut, funnel cakes, shoofly pie, once or twice a year. At my parents' house, dinner was likely to be stir-fried tofu and broccoli one night, lentil stew the next. Ultra-liberal Mennonites, like my parents, were hardly Plattdeutsch-speaking, covering-wearing Amish. Yet the community I was raised in was no commune either. My dad did sport lush sideburns, and my parents' politics were left of George McGovern's. But even the leftiest Mennonites raised their kids on hymns and social justice activism rather than sympathy for the devil and key parties. In 1976, a Pennsylvanian named Doris Jansen Longacre changed the diet of my parents, their friends, and all my Sunday school classmates with the publication of the More with Less cookbook. Informed by Francis Moore LePage's 1971 Diet for a Small Planet, as well as the experience of Mennonite contributors who had volunteered around the world, recipes in the More with Less cookbook combined whole grain ingredients with African, Asian, and Central American flavors, garnished with earnest discussions of how to live on a planet with limited resources. I was 5 when my mother bought her copy of More with Less. She was no purist. Yet, for the next decade, Velveeta cheese and Frosted Flakes disappeared from our pantry, to be replaced by a host of strange brown substances,